Welcome to Very Fantastic Discoveries with me, Jingy Fomer. Today, we are talking about the Greek god Hermes, who probably has the most jobs and responsibilities of all the Greek pantheon. Let's get started! Our story starts with Zeus being a scumbag once more and cheating on Hera with a nymph named Maia. Maia hid in a cave to raise her baby, Hermes. One night, she was telling Hermes about Apollo's sacred cattle, which would probably be fine meat if one could get one. Hermes, even though he was an infant, was inspired to steal Apollo's cattle for his mother. Little baby Hermes crept out of his cave and spied a tortoise. Hermes had an idea to create a musical instrument unlike any other that was worthy of a god. He killed the tortoise, even though I have no idea how, and used its shell to make a musical instrument that was kind of like a harp. It was called a lyre. I literally have no idea how he could have killed the tortoise, because you do not let a newborn baby run around with things that he could use to butcher a tortoise, and I doubt that his hands are that strong. But this is mythology, so you have to accept the unacceptable. So far pleased with his misdeeds, he went and saw Apollo's sacred bright red cattle grazing in a secret spot that Apollo had placed far from prying eyes. Wanting to make sure that Apollo would not know where his cattle had went, Hermes tied ribs to their tails, leads to their hooves, and made giant backwards feet. He put them on his own feet and forced the cows to walk backwards so Apollo would be confused. Hermes met an old man on the road and asked him not to tell anyone that he had seen Hermes with the cows. He ate two of the cows, which again, I do not know how, because babies do not know how to slaughter cows either, and hid the rest near his cave. Then he crawled back into his cave and slept after a hard night's work. The next morning, Apollo was furious. Someone had stolen 50 of his choicest cows and he could not tell which way they went. He found the old man, however, who told him everything. Apollo barged into Maia's cave and threatened to throw Hermes into Tartarus, the endless void in which the Titans were imprisoned because Hermes had stolen his cattle. Apollo chased Hermes all around the world, all the way to Mount Olympus, the mountain of the gods. Apollo was about to exact his vengeance against Hermes right in front of all the gods when he saw Hermes' lyre, the musical instrument he had made the night before. Apollo was willing to forgive Hermes for stealing his cows and bartered for the lyre. He even gave Hermes flying shoes, a flying helmet, and his caduceus. Hermes was made messenger of the gods alongside Iris and escorted ghosts to the underworld after they died. Hermes also turned the old man into a stone statue for telling on him. You probably have seen the influences of Hermes on modern culture. In Egypt, his equivalent in their mythology was the god of learning, Thoth. In Roman mythology, his name was Mercury. Hermes' caduceus is now a symbol of medicine. Both the planet and the liquid that goes in thermometers have been named Mercury in his honor. He has many more modern roles as god of travel, thieves, and much more. In other stories, he set free the woman-turned-cow, Io, and played a vital part in the growth of Mount Olympus. Next time you play the lyre, remember the tortoise that died in the name of musical advancement, and the god who inexplicably killed him as a baby in the middle of the night, stealing calves for the betterment of the world. Now I welcome our regular guest, Dylan Fulmer. Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Julie. How are you this afternoon?
Good, sir.
So, Hermes.
Yes.
What is the most compelling thing to you about Hermes? What's the most interesting thing to you about Hermes? Why did you choose him as today's topic?
Well, first off, I just finished reading those Greek mythology Georgia O'Connor things that you mentioned at the end of last episode.
Mm-hmm. And where did we get those?
John and Ellen's again, thank you.
Mostly Ellen, as we know. So you just read the Hermes book and...
There was one part that I noticed was different from one thing I remembered from the Hermes story, which was actually a really minor thing,
mm-hmm.
which was that more like a change in dialogue.
Okay.
Where when Apollo was chasing Hermes around the world, in the mythology I know, he said, "I'll throw you into Tartarus." Mm-hmm. And remember, Tartarus is like the void.
Mm-hmm.
But in the comic, I believe he is quoted as saying, if you think I won't whip a baby, you're mistaken, or something like that.
Hmm. That sounds like an adaptation or an interpretation of something like that. So Tartarus, what's the difference between Tartarus and Hades? Is it the same thing?
No, like Tartarus is deeper, way, way, way deeper.
Okay.
And, like, think that the gods live on, like, the crust of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And let's think of Hades as, like, at the mantle
mm-hmm.
and Tartarus is, like, the core.
Gotcha. And so the river Styx is what part in Hades?
Yes, it is.
Gotcha.
And remember, there are other rivers, too.
Yes.
Like the river of forgetfulness, mm-hmm. Lethe,
mm-hmm.
which I will never drink from because I don't want to forget.
Right, true. Nope. All right, so anyway, back to Hermes. So, as you mentioned, your least favorite god, Zeus, serial philanderer that he is, had an affair with Maia.
Yes.
And Maia was a nymph. She was a Pleiades, right? One of the Pleiades?
And in the comic it said that she was the child of Atlas. Remember the
right.
Titan who
yes.
held up the sky mm-hmm. and was tricked by Heracles into helping him out one of his labors?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Zeus had an affair with Maia. Did Hera know about this affair?
I don't think it said.
Okay. Well, the fact that, you know, Hermes was relatively unharmed as, you know, before he got into his antics seems testament that Hera didn't know, or Maia fled to this cave to hide Hermes from Hera.
Yes,
like
actually taking a leaf out of Zeus's book.
Right.
Remember, Zeus was raised in a cave.
Right.
But she did not include the marching band for obvious reasons.
Right.
Or the goat.
So, I didn't realize that it was her that had told Hermes about Apollo's cattle.
That's what I heard in a certain Greek mythology book, that she, like, sang about different things the gods owned.
Mm-hmm.
And what she sang about was Apollo's cattle in particular.
Right.
And I think Apollo, little baby Apollo, this rushed through his head. For what she says, Apollo's cattle must be great. And we are living in a cave, and we are very poor. So how about I steal, like, maybe 50 of those cattle and then bring them to this cave?
Gotcha. But, so Maia, his mom, was divine, right?
Yeah.
And so was he. He had two divine parents, so I guess it was just them hiding in this cave that made them poor. Because they certainly had the means to, I would imagine, get whatever they wanted from humans, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. So Hermes gets out of his crib, And then the first thing he's like, okay, I know I want to get these cows, but on my way, I need some tunes.
Yes.
So I'm going to make this instrument. Oh, here's a tortoise. That looks like a good idea. So what happens then?
He kills the tortoise and uses its shell to make the first lyre. And since then, the tortoise has become one of his secret animals, I think.
Right. So, as we know, a lyre is not just a piece of tortoise shell, though. There's strings involved as well. Yes. Are they talking about where the strings came from?
I don't think so.
Okay. And a lyre is sort of like a mini harp, right?
Yeah, I actually made that comparison in the actual episode.
Ah, I see it. So he kills this tortoise, makes a lyre.
Yes.
And now he's got, like, music. He's got tunes to steal cattle by. Yes. So he finds, from what I understood, he, like, went north first to look for these cows and found them pretty quickly.
Yeah. And it might have been because they were bright red and also had the sacred mark of Apollo on them.
Right. And so he, like, took the hooves off the cows and put them on backwards, right?
No. He tied leaves to their hooves to mask their hoof prints. Okay. And then he made backwards feet and out of, like, wood and tied them onto his feet, which would further mask his tracks.
Gotcha.
And also tied brooms to their tails to sweep away the tracks that the leaves had made.
Gotcha.
Clever, clever baby Hermes.
So he has these 50 cows now.
Yes.
And he takes them all back to the cave and he eats two of them.
Two of them.
And he's a baby.
Yes.
So, you know, echoes of somebody that you know from another story, perhaps, who was a baby that could probably get down on some cows pretty easily. Sonny Baudelaire.
Yes.
So now he's got 48 cows, and he's like, hey, Mom, look, I've got all these cows. And what's her reaction to this?
You crept out of our cave without telling me, and you can talk, and you made this lyre, and I am so mad at you.
Typical mom. Okay. But then, so he's got these cows, he's got this lyre, and then Apollo wakes up the next day and is like, what? Where are my cows? I need to get to the bottom of this quick because these are great cows and they're mine and somebody took them.
Yes, and he sees the backwards feet.
Right.
And he can, and to him it looks like someone led 50 cows out of the ocean back into the field because backwards feet.
Aha. Interesting. But he is undeterred, so he keeps looking for these cows.
Yes.
And how long does it take him to find out what's going on?
Not much time, because Hermes had passed an old man on the road, and he's like, nothing to see here, and if you see Apollo, do not tell him that you saw a baby.
Right.
With his cows.
So Apollo finally finds him and threatens to throw him in Tartarus.
Yeah, and remember, he got to the old man who told him everything, despite Hermes asking him not to.
Right.
And yeah, Tartarus.
So imagine, though,
yeah,
that if Apollo was going to throw Hermes into Tartarus while Hermes was eating one of these cows, it could be steak Tartarus. I've got the worst jokes, don't I, Joogie? Anyway, so he doesn't throw him in, and he says, okay, I'm taking you to Zeus, and Zeus is going to tell you what's going on with this, you know, and you're going to get justice. Justice will be served. So they get up to Olympus, and then what happens?
And Apollo is, like, yelling at Zeus to throw him and to throw Hermes into Tartarus already when he notices the tortoise shell lyre that Hermes had made, and Hermes is playing it.
Right.
And he's like, I'm the god of music, and that lyre sounds pretty nice, so all is forgiven. You can have my cows if you give me the lyre.
That seems like an unfair trade. But, you know, a lifetime of music versus, you know, a couple months worth of steak. I don't know.
Yeah.
Steak is delicious, but music is also very, very important, as we know.
Yes.
What else about Hermes? So you mentioned Hermes had a lot of jobs. One of them was to shuttle the dead to the underworld.
Yes.
So while he didn't get to go to Tartarus himself on the bad side of things, he got to go there frequently.
No, remember I told you Tartarus is deeper down than the underworld.
Sure.
So he goes to the underworld.
Gotcha.
And what's funny is that in one of the comics that featured Hermes escorting the dead to the underworld in the George O'Connor comics,
mm-hmm.
It said that one of his names was Hermes Psychopompus.
Psychopompus?
Yes!
Like, literally like psycho and pompous?
Pompous.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think it would be hard not to be psycho and pompous to a certain extent if you were a god.
Yeah, and also I've heard of a thing called psychopomp, too.
Right. But anyway, going back to Olympus, though.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot one point here.
Yeah.
Apparently, Zeus was so impressed with Hermes that he made him one of the...
messengers.
He made him one of the 12... God's 12 Olympians, right?
Yeah, and baby Hermes on the night before had actually sacrificed some of the other cattle to the gods and included him in one of the included him as one of the gods.
Right.
Even though Apollo's the god who could tell the future, it seemed that he may have inherited some of Apollo's genes.
Gotcha. And then, so he was the second youngest, from what I recall, of the Olympians?
Yeah, and the youngest was Dionysus.
Right, we're going to have to do an episode about him soon, too. Right, okay. So, anything else interesting about Hermes that you'd like to discuss today?
So, he had winged sandals, a winged helmet, and a staff with two snakes on it called the Caduceus.
Right.
And you know his modern legacy lives on. Mercury, the planet Mercury, the stuff in thermometers, Caduceus, symbol of medicine.
Mm-hmm. So the winged sandals and the winged hat.
Yes.
Did they actually, like, make him faster than he otherwise would have been?
They made him fly.
They made him fly, gotcha.
Because they had wings on them.
So just being a god wasn't good enough for him to be able to fly? He needed these special shoes to do that for him?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I believe he actually lent those shoes to Perseus on his quest to slay the Minotaur.
Right.
I mean, not the Minotaur. I meant Medusa, because Theseus was the one that slayed the Minotaur, that Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
And Medusa...
Well, very interestingly, because, you know, Hermes turned the guy into stone, and then that was Medusa's deal, too, right?
Yes, yes. And Medusa was actually not that bad, even.
As Gorgons go?
No. No, it was... The only reason she was a monster was because Poseidon wanted to take a leaf out of his brother Zeus's book. Went cavorting around with Medusa, and Athena was so mad that she turned Medusa into a Gorgon.
Gotcha.
And that was, and the only bad thing that Medusa did was being at the wrong goddess's temple with the wrong god of the sea.
Well, I mean, if I had a nickel for every time that happened to me,
you would be very poor.
True. All right, so what else about Hermes?
So
he got the Caduceus from Apollo, you said?
Yeah, and in the comic it even says that the Caduceus was once Apollo's sacred crop, but he used to look over those 50 cows with.
Right, true. Okay, well, Jungi, if there's not anything else today, I think this has been, again, a very interesting conversation that we've been having.
Yes, but also I think that Hermes is actually the god that has most influence on humanity.
Why is that?
Because, like, as I said, Mercury, the god Mercury, the planet Mercury, the stuff in thermometers, the caduceus being the symbol of medicine, Thoth, and things like that. And also, I think the only one who has had more of a contribution is Apollo, all of the space mission stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's lots of stuff named after lots of different people. And I know, like, for instance, there's a company, a florist company, that had Hermes winged shoes as their logo.
Is it called, like,
FTD?
Yeah, FTD.
STD is a very different thing than FTD. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, very important god, as gods go.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we've had the opportunity to talk about him this afternoon.
Yep. Also, quick note.
Yes,
and
quick
Percy
note.
Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Percy Jackson, thanks for getting those for, like, it wasn't my 8th birthday. I think they were one of my first introductions to Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Hermes' winged sandals played a very important part in that first book.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Jungi. Well, I think that's all the time we have to talk about Hermes today, and I look forward to talking to you next week, presumably something about Norse mythology.
Eden and the fruit of immortality, and Thiazi the storm giant, and how you can fit someone in a nutshell.
Whoa.
Literally.
Whoa. All right. Talk to you soon, Jungi.
You too. Hey, listeners. We are introducing a new feature of the podcast where we will try to answer questions that you, the listeners, have submitted on our website. Try to submit as many questions as you can so you will be able to hear new content as we answer your questions. Let's go to Daddy for this week's question.
All right, Jungi. It's a very exciting day. New feature on the podcast. And our first question comes all the way from Canada.
Yes.
Specifically from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yes.
From Greg Lawson, who asks, Jungi, is the hot dog a sandwich?
I would say maybe a cross, because the first ever sandwich, according to legend, was like some guy called the Earl of Sandwich putting a piece of meat between two pieces of bread. But the hot dog bun is not specifically like piece of bread shaped, even if it is like wheat and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. It's, as I said, it's like a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because
So you're saying it's a hybrid between a sandwich and a what?
Well, I'm not saying that because, but I'm saying it's a cross between a yes and a no.
Okay. So,
like, maybe neutral territory, because...
No, you've got to take a side here, Jungi. This is a very hotly contested question. You must take a side. Is the hot dog a sandwich, yes or no? Don't be a politician.
Well, I guess... I would say no, maybe because of that, like, piece of bread thing.
If I may be allowed to retort.
Yes.
Are you familiar with pita bread?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Pita bread is one piece. It's a disc, and it's hollow in the inside. And you cut off the one end, and you stuff it with stuff. You know, it could be falafel, it could be anything. That's a sandwich. But it's not two pieces of bread. It's one continuous piece of thing that has got stuff in the inside of it.
Yeah, and it's two pieces of bread, so it's not really...
It's not two pieces of bread.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a sandwich, like the, like what it said, as I said in Legend, was that two pieces of bread, one piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So since the hot dog bun is one big piece...
Right.
And the pita bread, what you said, is one big piece. I would say probably, if I'm forced to take a side on this, no, the hot dog is not a sandwich.
Really? That's a pretty forceful interpretation. I would, you know, and while I respect your opinion, I respectfully disagree with your opinion on this. I think it is the year 2018, and... we as a people hopefully are becoming more understanding and more evolved in our interpretations of things. So what I would say is you are familiar, being a scholar of mathematics, with the principle that a square is a rectangle.
Yes.
But not all rectangles are squares. So I would say that the hot dog is a sandwich, but not all sandwiches are a hot dog.
Oh, I get it, I get it.
So I don't know if that changes your perspective on this at all or not.
It actually does.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I think about it.
Because, you know, either way.
Yeah.
What I think the big takeaway here is that whatever you call it, it's still delicious, and you don't put ketchup on it.
Yes, because you know I am not that fond of sandwiches or hot dogs, but still.
Yeah, I know. You're largely a very perfect boy, but that's a big flaw that you have.
I'm not a perfect boy.
I said largely.
Yes, but I'm not even largely a perfect boy.
Well, that's your opinion, but your dislike of sandwiches is a big strike, I have to say. We're going to have to work on that. All right, Jungi. Well, I'm sure Greg appreciates your answer. I appreciate your answer, and I look forward to other interesting questions like this for future episodes.
Even though hot dogs had nothing to do with Hermes.
Well, I mean, they're made out of beef. I can tie anything together, Jungi. All right. Well, great first question. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Jungi. And we'll see you next week.
That is all the time we have for today. And I hope you like this episode about Hermes, the god that has probably had the most influence on all our modern society. You can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and our website, veryfantasticdiscoveries.com, among others. Quick note to all you infants out there, while it may sound tempting to steal sacred cattle in the middle of the night to better your life, do not try it, you probably can't even walk yet. Also, don't you all tortoises, if you see a newborn infant, or anyone waddling out of a cave, probably with a very sharp knife, run away as fast as you can, lest you get killed to make a musical instrument. Next week, we are talking about a Norse story involving Eden and the Fruit of Immortality. A cautionary tale to never trust Loki. Goodbye!